Well, thank you for that great worship. Is it not good to come into the house of God and worship Him together? Amen. Amen? Just love it. Yes. It's good to worship Him. How are you all doing? Good. A few amens, a few outstandings, a few I want to fill you in on a couple of things. I just have a couple of announcements. I want to get it out of the way. The elders, along with myself, extended a call to Brandon Milan, and he accepted the call. Yes. Praise God. So Brandon and his wife, Leah, will be coming to us at the beginning of April, which is only a few weeks away. So, praise God. Isn't that great? I think that's great. As well, I just wanted to draw to your attention, ladies, the Gifted and Call seminar that's in your bulletin. You will want to talk to Joan or call the church office to register by tomorrow. That's to make sure that we have enough to actually run that Gifted and Call seminar. I was telling in a relationship class this morning that I wish that us men had a seminar called Gifted and Call, because it is such a biblically based, it's a good a seminar, but the second piece talks about the fruit of the Spirit in your life. It's an incredible time. So you want to take note of that and make sure you call the office or talk to Joan. Where's Joan? Is she here? Did she come? She's in nursery. She is much older than the nursery. I just want you to know that. And I'm not going to make a comment about acting like a baby. Anyway, now I've just got myself in trouble. Well, today's talking about digesting your problems. I start them so I can digest them. That's how it works. I would almost venture to believe that everyone in this room has had a problem. Am I pretty fair on that? In fact, let me just take a poll. How many of you have ever had a problem? Okay, a few of you. Yeah. Now, sometimes we have a problem because we're in anticipation of a problem. You know, we create our problems by thinking that there's got to be a problem. You're just waiting for a problem. Have you ever waited for a problem? I've waited for a problem, many problems. It's very much like the couple who were in bed one night, and the husband was sound asleep, and his wife jabbed him in the ribs, and she said, "Bert, wake up! Wake up! I'm sure this time there's a burglar downstairs. Wake up!" So Bert sat on the edge of the bed, searched for his slippers. Seemed like the 10,000th time. "I'm up," he says. Took his robe and he shuffled his way down the stairs and reached the bottom step, and he found himself looking into the barrel of a gun. "Hold it right there," voice firmly said from behind the ski mask. "Show me where your valuables are." And Bert did. And when the burglar had his bag full and was ready to leave, Bert said, "Hey, wait a minute. Just before you go, could you do something for me? Could you just come upstairs and meet my wife? Because she's been expecting you every night for the past 30 years. Some of you are nudging your spouse right now. I can see it happening. Some of us have a problem waiting for the problem to happen. And the problem, or seeing more than our problem. Well, I'm hoping, Dave, that the Word of God will help you today. It's a great passage of Scripture. Turn to Hebrews chapter 3. It's a wonderful passage. It's a great passage. Hebrews chapter 3. We can get so caught, in our problem. Hebrews chapter 3. "Therefore, holy brothers, sisters, brethren, who share in the heavenly calling, fix your thoughts on on Jesus, the apostle and high priest, whom we confess. He was faithful to the one who appointed him, just as Moses was faithful in all God's house. Jesus has been found worthy of greater honor than Moses, just as the builder of a house has greater honor than the house itself. For every house is built by someone, but God is the builder of everything. Moses was faithful as a servant in all God's house, testifying to what would be said in the future. But Christ is faithful as a son over God's house. And we are his house, if we hold on to our courage and the hope of which we boast. Let us pray. Father God, we're walking through a very tense solution, in a sense, God, to our problems. And God, we know that it sits in your word, and the enemy doesn't like that when we open your word. In fact, Lord, the enemy doesn't like anything that you love, and he'll try and deter us from what you love. God, I just pray today that you would just release your spirit here so that we would even see better who you are and clearer, fix our eyes on you. We just pray this to your glory and honor in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, to digest your problem, you got to determine who's in control. You got to determine who is in control. You see, I got to tell you that there are so many times where I put myself in control of all things. And, you know, it's interesting, because can you change things that haven't yet happened? And yet we try and do that. Well, I got to change this to work it out so that I can work it out so that it'll be better than what it looks like it's going to be. See, I'm not concerned anymore about having the answers to. In fact, I used to be distraught over things that I wanted to know, especially in somebody else's life. I can fix them, but I got to look at me. I wanted to know. I was always trying to figure it out. Well, you know, God will meet my need, but where is it going to come from? God's going to meet my need. But God, where are you going to, who are you going to use? How are you going to do this? And so we try to desperately figure it all out. We come to God and we pray to him about our problem, and then we fax him our solution. God, here's my problem. And by the way, here's how you're going to have to handle it. And then we wonder why we're always mournful all the time. We wonder why we're always stuck in the rut and we're not happy. Because we're always trying to solve it, when all God needs to do is just take it. Well, the message, I love the way the message says it. So, my dear Christian friends, companions in following this call to the heights, take a good, hard look at Jesus. He's the centerpiece of everything we believe. Have you ever been to a place, or at Christmas, you know, you're sitting stuff up, and you take this beautiful, big, gorgeous thing that somebody created for you, or somebody made, or you bought it, or something. It's just beautiful, and you go, this is going to make a nice centerpiece on our table. So you'll sit down at your table, and people come in, they go, ooh, look at that beautiful centerpiece. You know, that's what it's talking about. The centerpiece, beautiful. There's the centerpiece. In order to digest your problem, take a look good at Jesus. A hard look at him. Because he's the centerpiece. Fix your eyes on him. You know how peaceful it is when you don't want anything except what God gives you. When you don't want anything that is not the will of God. You're not satisfied. When you're satisfied, you just say, God, I am content with how you're taking this. God, I'm content with the way you're shaping this situation. God, I am so content for you to just be the centerpiece in my life. To me, not just wanting something so bad that it just keeps you stirred up all the time. Oh, these are the things that I want. This is the way it's got to be. And if it's not, well, nobody else is going to be happy either. But I can honestly say, I don't want any of those things so bad that they just keep me stirred up all the time But that always wasn't my testimony. I was always stirring up because I was stirred up. I don't like that. I'm going to stir it up. Chuck Swindoll said, every problem is an opportunity to prove God's power. Every day we encounter countless golden opportunities brilliantly disguised as insurmountable problems. I love that. Can I tell you something? Okay, the rest of you leave, those two. No, can I tell you, as long as you think that you cannot be happy until you get rid of your problem, you will always keep your problem. As long as you think you cannot be happy until you get rid of all your problems, you will probably keep your problem. Because let me tell you something. Jesus, in Scripture, says Jesus is our joy, not the absence of our problem. Jesus is our centerpiece. He's our rock, not the relief of our circumstance. There's an old saying in Texas. Please bear with me. It doesn't matter how much milk you spill, as long as you don't lose your cow. In other words, problems are not irreversible. Who's in control, ultimately, in your life? The problems or Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith? Let him have your problem. Stop trying to fix it. And instead, fix your eyes on Jesus. Well, to digest your problem, you've got to determine who's in control. And to digest your problem, you've got to determine what you trust. I learned a long time ago that if you want something joyous, you ask God for it. If you don't get it, then it's not something that he will give to you because it won't give you joy. If you don't get it, then you believe it's not God's time, or you believe it's not God's will, or that he's got something better for you, or that he wants you to have something better, something different, and we don't have the ability to come to him and ask for the best thing very often, and so he's not going to sit there and give you the inferior thing, although sometimes we ask for the inferior. Often our eyes are on our problems instead of on the promise. And the promise is, God is not going to let me down. God will never let me down. If he tells me to do something, he's going to be right there beside me, making sure I can get it done, giving me what I require to get it done. If I'm leaning on him, he's not going to move away and let me fall down. But we don't focus on him. We don't trust him. We trust the solution to our problem, what we think is the solution. We don't focus on the promises that God gives to us. We focus on the problems around us. How many of you have ever driven in a big city other than PA? You know, where there's clover leaf exchanges. You know, like, have you ever been on a clover leaf exchange and all those little messy things? Have you ever seen? Well, I'm okay driving as long as I know where I'm going. We were in Los Angeles, Joan and I, it was before we had children, and Joan is a mean person with a map. I mean, not mean, that came out wrong. I mean, she can read a map so well. She does, she reads it so good, okay? She can read that map and she can say, this is it. But clover leaves, you know, clover leaves mess you up on maps. They really do. Because it'll be like this. You go this way, and then there'll be just this clover leaf written into the map. And you don't. So I get, you know, we're driving in Los Angeles. She said, maybe we should take a bus. Because I really wanted to see the Hollywood Wax Museum in Los Angeles. She said, maybe we should take a bus. I said, oh, no, I can drive. All right. It's easy. I can drive. Well, there's a tour bus that, you know, all we have to pay is like $20. And I can drive. You know, I know how to drive. You read the map and I'll drive. And she said, okay, but there's a lot of clover leaves. Ah, yeah, but as long as we know where we're going, it's no problem. So So anyway, we're going along, and all of a sudden, there's like 17,000 different signs. At least it appeared to me. And I'm going, which one do we take? And she said, just a minute, I've got to find out the map. And, oh, no, I think it's this one. And so I go around this one. We're going over the clover leaf. And she said, that's the wrong one. Oh. So I had to wait next clover leaf. I took another wrong one. So, you know, because I had to get back to the first clover leaf. So we're like three or four clover leaves. And she said, we have to be back, way back, four times ago. And I said, I'm trying to get there. Can't you see I'm trying to get there? And she said, well, it doesn't say on the map you're trying to get there. You know, it's like, I'm reading the map. And I'm going on these clover leaves. And I go, well, we keep going. And all of a sudden, we're on a straight road. And ha, breather. And then all of a sudden, another clover leaf get me back to the clover. You know, you're getting it, right? What a mess. But the good thing about clover leaves, see, life's problems are much like clover leaf exchanges on highways. It may not seem like it at first, but there is a way out. There always is a way out. And in the confusion and the mess of things, I mean, I kept thinking, oh, I'll take the next one. I take the wrong one again. She's going, we got to get back to that. I know. I'm getting us back there. But in the confusion of it all, sometimes that's how we are. We think, well, I'll take this way out. It's not the way God wants us to go. He's got the map and he's saying, go in this direction, and we go, wait a minute, I'm going to take this other direction. I'm going to go down this lane because that's the way I want to go. And we mess ourselves up. We have to get back to the first clover leaf. The Bible says that God has laid out a good plan for our life that we might walk in it. God just wants us to walk it out with him, trusting him, knowing that he is with us. Just walk it out. But one step at a time. One step at a time. Look in this passage. The Holy Spirit says, verse 7, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts, as you did in the rebellion during the time of testing in the desert, where your fathers tested and they tried me, and for 40 years saw what I did. That is why I was angry with that generation, and I said, their hearts are always going astray, and they have not known my ways. So I declared on oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. We wonder why we're tired. Because God says, take this way out. And we say, whoa, wait, God, you got it wrong. Because if I go down that journey, there's going to be a whole bunch of other things that are going to mess me up. I want it this way. And I'm going to take this exchange. And then we wonder why we're tired. See, in good times, God is great. And I'll tell you, that God is the same when we're walking through a problem. And it doesn't matter, it doesn't make any difference what we're going through, as long as God is going through it with us. Amen? I don't want anything out of the will of God. I want to keep trusting him. Digesting your problems, bottom line, involves trusting God. So to digest your problem, you got to determine who is in control. You got to determine what you trust, and you got to determine where you walk. Got to determine where you walk. Look at this. See to it, brothers, sisters, that none of you, verse 12, has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. But encourage one another daily as long as it's called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. We have come to share in Christ if we hold firmly till the end this confidence we had at first. As it's just been said today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion. Remember, when you came to first knowledge of how great God was, when you maybe asked him in your heart and you said, oh Lord, I just need you. I can't do this anymore. Take a moment. Think back to that moment where you just sat there. You said, God, I can't do this anymore. I need you in my life. Somebody maybe led you in that and you made that prayer and you said, oh, and then all of a sudden you felt great. I feel good. I feel great. then the first problem comes along, you, uh-oh, I guess I didn't do it right. Because I don't think there should be problems if God's with me, is that right? See, we start to doubt. We start to walk where we doubt. See, not only do we need to learn to ask God for things, but more important, we need to ask God with the right motive in our heart. Why am I asking? God, why am I asking this of you? It's the why behind the what that God is concerned about. Don't kid yourself. God knows why you do some of the things you do. He knows your walk. And it's interesting that the trials we walk through often just steer us away from God and closer to what the enemy wants in our life instead of closer to God and what he wants in our life. People often leave the church or they walk away from God because they've been so confused. They're just in the middle of all those turnarounds, those cloverleafs. They're hurt or they're questioned God because so much they don't even pray anymore. They stop reading their Bible. They become so me-focused that their eyes are no longer fixed on Jesus, but their eye is focused on their problem. And they step further and further away from Christ. I love the way the Message Bible puts this passage. So watch your step, friends. Watch your step. Make sure there's no evil unbelief lying around you that will trip you up and throw you off course, diverting you from the living God. For as long as it's still God's today, keep each other on your toes so sin doesn't slow down your reflexes. That's why we come together like this. That's why we come together. We come together so we can help one another keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. This passage talks about the Israelites and their groaning and their rebellion and they wanted the promised land and they wanted deliverance and they doubted through all that. And their walk became diverted from God and on their circumstance. God may not deliver us from what we want to be delivered from because he may prefer to work something in us and is actually using our problem as a tool. Maybe you've got someone that you just look at and your flesh crawls. You know? Hide me, quick. You know? Everywhere you go, you see them. Oh, no, there they are. You know? And we do this. You know, you're in the food court. Hey, you know, you're with your family. Let's go over there to... Then you're frozen, and they're going, what's wrong? Let's go to the other A&W on the other side of town. You know, we'll drive. You know? And they come, and you sit down, and then they come, and they sit down right there beside you. Because it's the only spot in the whole food court. You can't do everything. You know, you're going, where am I? You're almost trying to regain consciousness. You switch the seating, get somebody to sit over there. You sit over there, I'll sit over here. You know? You're going, God, I don't understand why this is happening to me. Maybe something God is trying to work in you. And we can apply that to anything in our life. I don't know why God, why is this happening? Why do I have to love the unlovely? And they all come across me all the time. Why can't I be more patient? Why is everybody not, like they're trying my patience? I heard a doctor say that once, I'm trying my patience. Anyway. You realize, why can't everybody be like me? Why can't they be like me? I mean, I found out, I pray for stuff, just go away. And I got more of it. I'd be praying, God, just get this, I don't want this anymore. Just get it away from me. And God would say, oh, you don't want it? Here's some more. Because God had to teach me something through that. I had to watch my walk at all times. There's peace and there's power. When we pray like that, when we stop wrestling with everybody and everything, say, I don't like this. I'm going to try and give it up. I'm going to. But instead we say, I don't like this, and I'm going to hold on to it, and I'm going to try and manipulate the system so I can get my way. God isn't in that. He won't have anything to do with that. But you don't understand. I've never had my way. God says, you're on your own if you want it your way. Because I want to do it my way. Because it's much better for you. For as long as it's still God's today, keep each other on your toes so sin doesn't slow down your reflexes. If we can only keep our grip on the sure thing we started out with, we're in this with Christ for the long haul. See, I think often we're more focused on getting our own way than God getting his way. It's so easy to turn a deaf ear and not listen when God is speaking to us. And that's why we need each other. That's why we need to come together to encourage one another. That's why we gather like this. It's critical. We need help. We need together. We need to learn from one another. Together, we walk. Together, help each other along. I mean, the Israelites, they groaned together. That's why we need to be open and honest with who we are, where we're going, how we're feeling, so we can better be who God has in store for us. We get to a place where we say, God, I don't want anything that you don't want me to have. If you want that in my life, I'm happy to have it. Somewhere, somehow, I'll learn how to get along with it. If you want them in my life, I'm happy to have them. Somewhere, somehow, I'll learn, God, to get along with them. I'm not going to be upset all the time. God, I don't love this problem. It seems so insurmountable. I feel like I'm on the fourth clover leaf. But God, I know I need to get back to the first one again. I know you're calling me back there. That's watching your walk. Sam Peoples said this. He said, the circumstances of life, the events of life, and the people around me in life do not make me the way I am, but reveal the way I am. Who are you? Really? Who are you? We always want everything that affects us to change. We always want our circumstances to change. We want all the people around us to change. And yet, what God really wants to do is just change me. It's you God's after. Not your circumstances. Not everybody you know. Not your problem. It's you. It's you. And actually, this is an important thing. I'm going to say this. Listen carefully. God is working in our life. No matter what we may think or feel like, God is always working. But he may not be working in the way we want him to. How are you walking? How do you walk through your problem or with your problem? It's important in order to digest your problem. Let's pray. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes, and I'm going to ask you, I'm going to ask you this morning, and I ask you to think first of all where you're at right now as far as your problem goes. I'm going to ask Selma to come and just softly play, if that's okay, Selma. I'm going to ask you, take the situation you're in right now. You might have a problem that seems insurmountable, or you may have a problem that is, maybe it's just with somebody, or something. And I'm going to ask you this morning, while heads are bowed and eyes are closed, are you willing today to let go of the control and trust in the one who will help you walk through your problem? Are you willing to say, I'm not going to hold on to this situation anymore? Because, God, I really haven't trusted you with that somebody in my life, or I haven't trusted you with that ministry, or I haven't trusted you with that circumstance. And God, today, I want you to have full control in my life. I want to trust you with it. Just like that moment when you came to him for the first time. Just like that moment when you experienced what is known as salvation. And you asked him into your heart. And you said, forgive me. I give you my heart today, God. I want you, Jesus, to just come into my heart. And you felt a sense of joy. That peace. That moment of the release of a burden. That's what this is all about. It's about letting go in the same way. Letting go of your life and letting him control it. While every head is bowed and every eye is closed, maybe you just want to say to him, here you go, God. Here you go. It's yours. I'm going to let it go. Just lift your hand up. Just lift it up. Lord bless you, 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 Lord bless you. God sees all those hands. Lord bless you, Lord bless you. Here you go, God, it's yours. Lord bless you, Lord bless you, Lord bless you. Lord bless you, Lord bless you, Lord bless you. Lord bless you, Lord bless you. God sees all those hands. Lord bless you. God sees those hands. Lord bless you. It's yours, God. It's not mine anymore. It's yours. This morning, while heads are bowed and eyes are closed, I'm going to ask you. Maybe you just want to say to him, God, I've lost confidence. Somewhere along the line, I lost my confidence in who you are. God, problems got the best of me. And really, it is the best. Because, God, it's who I am. And I want that for you. I want you to have me. So, God, I want you to forgive me. And maybe you need to talk to him about how God needs to just forgive you for holding on, doubting, not letting him have control, not trusting when you needed to. Maybe your walk was wavering and you got on that road and ended up on the fourth clover leaf. Talk to him. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed, I want you all to stand, please. Just stand. Father God, our holy, holy, holy God, we are so finite. We don't know it all. We don't know how you're using a particular circumstance or a particular person, a situation that's been so hard on us. At times, God, we wonder if we'll make it. And yet in those moments of doubt, you lift us up and you carry us. Just like we talked about last week, God, you carry us through those moments where we doubt. God, we stand here as your people today. And Lord, as we stand here before you, we know that there's nothing else for us but you. Sometimes you need to strip away all those things, all those people. Maybe even it's people we listen to other than you. God, we need to listen to you. We need to fix our eyes on who you are. And that's the one who never leaves us nor forsakes us. Who carries us through those difficult moments, those times where we doubt, just like Thomas. And you come alongside. You lift us up. You wipe away our tears and you give us the joy we need. Just like that first moment of salvation for each of us, God. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the victory that's found in believing in you. I just pray, God, your blessing upon us as a church and for these, your people. Bless us, God, as we digest our problems. In Jesus' name, amen.